Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Blog Talk Radio, Mission from the Heart. And we are excited. Pastor Gerald Jones and I are so excited to be with you again concerning a wise witness. A wise witness, according to Proverbs 11:30, says that he who wins souls is wise. Can you be a wise witness in your circle of influence? Why is it that our approach to share the gospel of Jesus Christ is such a struggle for most believers? Pastor Jones will help us understand and teach us on how Jesus did what he did when he approached those who were lost. Remember, Luke 19, verse 9 and 10 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So I thank you again for being a part of this broadcast, and I pray that you share this broadcast with your circle of influence, that you would allow this ministry, Mission from the Heart, to be a minister to your circle of influence. And we pray that you continue to be a wise witness in your circle of influence. I just want to share that I learned a Greek word concerning family, and it's pronounced oikos, O-I-K-O-S, and that's Greek for family. And so be a oikos in your circle. So I am going to let Pastor Jones continue to bring us to the point to where we are going to be discussing our approach. So, Pastor Jones, if you could just take us away from the lesson, and you come hungry with your Bible and your paper and making sure you take good notes as we continue to walk through the scriptures concerning a wise witness. So thank you again, Pastor Jones, for bringing this broadcast to those across the world on Mission from the Heart Radio.
Well, I'm glad to have this opportunity. I am no expert at witnessing other than the Holy Spirit work and has worked, and I look forward to him continuing to work in me to lead people to our Lord, to our Savior, to a saving relationship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To be a Christian means that you have a relationship with God, not just a belief or a religious belief, but you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. So I want to pick back up on the fact that it is important, very important for us to witness to people about Jesus Christ. It's a great work, and I'm going to challenge each one of us that are listening, and even myself, that before the end of this week come, that we will have talked prayerfully to someone about making a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, that before the end of this year, we will have at least led 5 to 10 people to Christ. I'm challenging us that we will set that goal. I believe that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And I believe and I know that his will for us to introduce people to Jesus to be saved. And so as we become wise witnesses, we have to learn there are different kinds of witness. Last week I talked about how Andrew, who is kind of an ordinary person, he brought many ordinary people to Jesus Christ, but he also brought extraordinary people like his brother. So he thought about once he had met Christ, as he had met Jesus, that he would go and bring his brother. So he thought about his brother, I said, and he sought his brother, and then he brought his brother. And when he got his brother to Jesus, Jesus taught his brother. So when we look at John, is the focus scripture, John chapter number 1, verse 35 through 42 in John chapter number 1, it says, again, the next day John stood with his disciples and looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. On one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, being interpreted a star. So I just want to, I wanted to make sure that I brought that passage into our focus as we look at the direct approach that Andrew has in reaching out to his own biological brother, and that he followed his brother to Jesus Christ. This approach, direct approach, is not necessarily easy, but it is usually comfortable for us to talk to our relatives about our changed life, because our relatives know that we were perhaps going in a different direction or we were following other things, and when they see the change that has taken place in our life, it is interesting to them. And sometimes the direct approach is really them approaching you, which gives you the opportunity to talk to them about this wonderful change or this wonderful person that you have met in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are others that use the direct approach as we look at in the same passage of Scripture, verse number 45. Well, I'll just read, start at 43 since we left off at 42. It said the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Jesus uses a direct approach even as he talks to these men, Philip. Now, Philip was of Bethsheba, the city of Andrew and Peter. So they were both from the same location, Andrew and Peter and Philip. Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now notice, it is being passed on. Andrew to Simon Peter, Simon Peter and Andrew to Philip, Philip now to Nathanael. And this crowd is growing. These followers, these disciples of Jesus is growing. And it says, now Nathanael, however, said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip says to him, "Come and see." And I noticed that as we were looking at this passage, that word "come and see" was also found in the 39th verse. And so this "come and see" means that you can not only believe me for what I'm saying, you can follow me and see this person that I'm introducing. And I think and I know that it is important that when we start to talk or witness to someone, that we pretty much bring them into a not only just hearing what we say, but visualizing it. And you may have to use some type of illustration, something that is common to that person as well as common to you. But you need to think about that you want them not only to hear what you're talking about, but you can help them to visualize or see. Now, we know they won't visually see Jesus, but they can see some changes. You can bring up some things that have changed in your life or in the life of somebody that you know have had a salvation experience. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." So notice, when you're introducing people to Jesus, the Lord already knows them. He knows where they are. He knows who they are. He knows what they've been coming to. So just trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Lord to reveal to them, to that individual, that light or that who Jesus really is. As I was looking, I see that once these men actually got in the presence of Jesus and he began to talk to them, this is what caused a lot of them to start even considering to follow Jesus the more. Let's just look a little bit further at this passage. It said, Nathanael said unto him, "Rabbi." And that intrigued me. At first he didn't believe really that Jesus was who he said he was, but when Jesus told him something about himself, then he recognized that Jesus was a teacher. And he says, "You are the Son of God." And I often, in my mind, often thought that maybe Nathanael was kind of rushing here in his statement about who Jesus was. But at least he made an accurate statement. "And you are the King of Israel." And Jesus, though, replied to him by saying, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater than these. And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This man, Nathaniel, got a lot more out of his meeting with Jesus than he probably really expected. He got, and so when we introduce people to Christ, we can pretty much be confident that they're going to see a lot more than they expected, and they're going to experience something that they've never experienced before. Because remember that the Holy Spirit is at work. He's at work in you. He's at work on and in towards them. And so their eyes are going to be opened. They're going to be pretty much illuminated. Their heart's going to be stirred when the truth about who God is and who Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit's going to be stirring their heart to convince them. And I said this on the other week, not only to convince them, but to convict them. And that's where the spiritual wisdom of the Holy Spirit comes in. That's when we really want to trust the Holy Spirit to work with us as well as he's working on somebody that don't know him. Because he's not only convincing, but he's convicting of sin. When I can remember when I heard the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, I was not only intrigued by the speaker and his ability or his willingness to let the Holy Spirit use him, but I was beginning to get convicted because the words that the Holy Spirit was using, the Bible scriptures that were being used, were so direct and it applied so much to me that it actually began to start changing my mind. It worked on my intellect. It worked on my emotion. And eventually, when I made that decision to accept Jesus, it worked on my will. Now, God didn't force me, but he wooed. And that's a word just mean like he kind of blew, the Spirit blew on me to make me to be aware that I need to make a spiritual change. It was the word of God that was at work. Peter changing a person's life and in changing a person's thought plan. Let's just look a little bit farther here at some other examples of how we can win others to Christ. When I look at Philip, the Lord had died and was buried and rose again and ascended back into heaven, Philip was one of those people that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, chapter number 8, Sister Smith, can you get that for me?
Sure.
And we'll see how Philip obedience played a major role in the conversion of the eunuch.
Okay.
Won't you start at verse 27? This is kind of a lengthy passage, but we have time, so let's do this. Go to Acts chapter 8 and beginning at verse 27.
Okay. Acts 8, verse 27, and it reads this way. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. This man has gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The spirit of go to the chariot and stay near it. The spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was
hold
led
right
by
there,
the...
Hold it right there. I want you to come back to that, but I just want to say something before we read the actual scripture that the eunuch was reading. First of all, we know this is Philip after his conversion. This is Philip after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And this is after the promise was fulfilled and the power of the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost. Philip here is engaged in ministry and preaching and letting God not only come through him, on him, in him, and working for him. He's been preaching the gospel. And while he's doing this, the Lord sends an angel to him and sends him in a whole different direction. And as a wise witness, we have to be very sensitive to the leading of the Lord and the changes of direction that we may be going. We may be doing a great thing in one direction, but because God wants to expand the ministry and bring us to a greater ministry or to a different group of people, he may take us on another road. It says, Philip, go south. That's what the angel told him. Go south to the road, the desert road that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he's going in a whole different direction. It says, so he started out. Now, what I really love about this is that as a wise witness, we must be obedient just as Philip. Because he was obedient, someone else got saved. Someone else was going to receive the gospel that was open to the gospel. Some people are really ready, but they need to hear from somebody about Jesus Christ. They need to hear about the way, the truth, and the life. They need to know that the Lord can change not only their direction, but their destiny. From God's leading, Philip, the eunuch, is going to get saved. Let's just look again at what's going on here. As he begins to go towards the south, he runs into this very important treasurer, the eunuch, and it says that this man had gone down to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this is interesting. This man's heart was ready because he had a desire to worship. But when a person really wants to get close to God, God will clear up any confusions about who he's supposed to be worshiping and not just going through the afterward. There may be some people really ready to be saved, and they're coming to church to find out about the Lord as they say, so he can save you. When you come, when a person comes to church, he can save a person when they come into church, and he can also save a person in church, and he can save a person when they leave church. So always be mindful that people can be saved anywhere. This man was leaving a worshiping experience, and he was riding on his chariot, and he began to read the Old Testament Isaiah. And the, what I love again, not only was Philip willing to leave his preaching and go in this different direction, but the Spirit was still on him. And what we need when we are witnessing is the Holy Spirit to really be feeling and controlling and upon us as we talk to people about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he did just what God intended. And it said he ran up to this man's chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip had the tenacity and the boldness. This is what I like. In this direct approach that Philip here, he boldly says to this man, do you know or do you understand what you are reading? Don't be afraid to ask someone if they are reading the Bible, do you understand what you're reading? I mean, and then find out what do they see in the scripture? What do they understand about what they see? And how does this really apply to their personal life? Don't be afraid to ask them. And then let's just see how the very word of God begins to change this man's life. You can read now, Sister Smith.
Okay. Verse 32. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of this, of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus, and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea.
Okay, so right there. What an exciting episode here. What an exciting event. First of all, it shows the power of the Word of God to change and to convince and convert an individual. And if people are interested enough to read God's Word, then we ought to be willing and interested enough to help them to understand God's Word and point them to Christ Jesus our Lord through the Word. The man simply wanted to know, who is this that Isaiah is talking about? And the Bible says that Philip began from this very passage. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Jesus was led as a sheep to the slaughter. He was led up Golgotha to the cross to die. And he illustrates it again by saying, as a lamb before the shearer is silent. He didn't argue. Jesus did not argue when he was going to die on the cross for you and for me. And people need to know that he was willing to die. He wasn't forced to die. He was willing to die. It was a vicarious death that Jesus died. So he did not open his mouth. Look at his silence in the midst of all. And he's explaining. I can just about imagine. I can see Philip just explaining this verse to this man that was interested. We have to take time with people and explain God's word to him. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? And for his life was taken from the earth. And if I could continue to go on where it says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I'm more than sure that we have to have some passion. When you're witnessing, that must be some passion. They must know, people must know that we are passionate about what we believe. We can't just talk to people like it's just, you know, case that I said, it must mean something to you so that it can mean something to them and give them the opportunity to understand. Let's look a little further. When this man, it says, the eunuch asked Philip to tell him, he told him, and it says Philip shared to him the good news, the gospel about Jesus Christ. God's only Son presents eternal life. He presents the gospel to them. And they traveled along the road. That's what got me. They kept moving. He didn't. After he witnessed to them, you can tell when God is really working in a witnessing opportunity, because, number one, the Holy Spirit is in control. And the person, even though they may be an individual that did not want to listen to you or did not want to accept the word or whatever, but because you are passionate and because you're using the word of God and because you have a love for people, it's amazing how they will begin to change right before your eyes and begin to be willing to accept what God is saying. He looked, and here is water. The man was willing not only to accept Jesus Christ, but now he's willing to submit to water baptism, which is a symbol Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. Every time we baptize somebody, we are doing an illustration of the fact that Jesus died and he was buried. He went under in the grave. And he rose out of the grave. He resurrected. So this man was willing to identify with the Christ to the point of being baptized. When a person really have been saved and really have accepted the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, and have really accepted the word of God and repent of their sin, they will be willing to be baptized. It's not even a fight. And he gave the orders for the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. He baptized the man right on the spot. When they came out the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. This must have been some phenomenal experience for that man. I'm just thinking right now how powerful this experience or this event was. Here's a man, and I've been studying, a black man that God saved and baptized by a fire preacher like Philip, and then took Philip right out from his sight. And the eunuch did not see him again. Now that is something. When the word of God and the Spirit of God changes a person's life, even if you never meet the person that led you to Christ again, your life will begin. And this man's life began anew. And I'm more than sure when he got back to the palace, he told a story. He told about how the preacher had explained to him the scripture, how he had accepted Jesus Christ, how he had been baptized, how he had observed the Spirit of God taking Philip away from him, and all of the things that had transpired in his conversion experience. And I'm more than sure he became a fired-up preacher where he was. Sister Smith, if you don't mind, can you turn to the 10th chapter of Acts? I want to talk about another witness named Peter.
Sure.
Alrighty. Okay. This book of Acts is full of excitement and full of illustrations and truths of how God used men to witness for him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. You can start at verse number 1.
Acts 10, verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man called Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian Renegade. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of the attendants of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa.
Hold right there. I just want you to stop right there. Because what we see is God working on two ends at the same time. He's working on a Jewish man who was truly a Jewish man, but now a Christian man. And he's working on a Gentile man who truly was a Gentile man, but he was religious and believed in helping the poor. And both men really needed some clarity as to what God had already done and what God was doing. And so what we see here is that Peter is going to be led by the Holy Spirit to go to Cornelius, and Cornelius have been led by the Holy Spirit and to get Peter. And it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful truth that this Gentile was willing, and he had rank, he had position, he was a soldier. But he didn't let that stop him from following this vision that he saw so clearly. Cornelius didn't let anything stop him. He was willing to follow through with what was being instructed to him. And you're going to find that people are so interested that they're going to be looking for someone to come and show them unconditional love and clarity in the Word of God. This devout man who feared God, a Gentile who worshiped, needed somebody from the Israelite faith or from an Israelite to talk to him. Can you read just a little bit further and find out what happened to Peter? Because Peter was still kind of racist, or I would say he was still hung up in being a Jew, and he really was not that interested in seeing Gentiles, even though he was the one that started the preaching to the whole world. Can you look at it, Sister Smith, and read verses 9?
Sure. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles on the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision. The man sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived to Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called them together, relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself."
Hold it right Talking there. Hold it right there. I just want to, because our time is getting close here, and I just really want to say something right here. Again, we must always, when we have set a goal to win or to lead people to Christ, when we have a passion and we are persistent about leading people to Christ, we have to know that God is at work. The Holy Spirit is working on both ends at the same time. I said that before, and I'll say it again, that he's convincing, convicting, converting, and really causing change to take place. And this is a change that needed to happen. Peter, who had been a devout Jewish person, and Cornelius, who had been a devout Gentile person, needed to know that when Jesus died on the cross with the nails in his hand, with the spike in his feet and thorns around his head, when he bled and died and he was buried and rose on the third day, and he did it for all people. It doesn't matter what their religious background, their economical background, their educational background. This Roman soldier had position. It doesn't matter about their position. Peter had a position also, but it didn't matter about Peter's position, about what he thought about Gentile. This was a time to break all the barriers, pull out all the stops, so that there might be salvation clearly to all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The whosoever, it didn't matter about their color. It didn't matter about their religion. background, I want to really observe how Peter didn't really want to go to the house of Cornelius, but he went anyway. Peter was probably still hanging on to his Jewish laws and ordinances, and he probably didn't want to do this, but he was willing. Willing and being willing to go beyond your comfort zone or your own relatives and beyond your own neighborhood, beyond your own culture, to win somebody to Christ is a wise thing. I just need to tell you that. It's a wise opportunity to get rid of whatever, because you are focusing more on the person's destiny than where they are right there, right then. You're focusing again on their need rather than their faults. The Holy Spirit was talking to Peter, but he was also talking to Cornelius. We can learn from this that when we follow him, somebody and some many people can be changed. Can you see how the devil would have loved to have made Peter stay in Joppa? And he would have loved to have made Cornelius just say, well, I had a vision, but I'm not going to follow through on it. When God is working and he's speaking to you about going to your neighbor, going to your relative, going to your coworker, going to your school teacher, your classmate, whoever, get over where they came from and what they may do, and just follow the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to kind of close right here. And next week, I'm going to talk a little bit more about following up with what happened in this story, in this Bible truth. And then we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul, who also, in the midst of hard times, you can read ahead, if you would, the Acts, the 26th chapter, when Paul was under in a shipwreck, but he was still willing to witness. There could be something going on with you that is not comfortable. You could be sick. You could be in prison. You can be in a situation where you have death. You have death in your family. It could be something going on your job. But wherever we are still held accountable to be the witness that God has made us to be. So, if you want to be that witness, if you want to be that example, then we might have to stop and pray and ask God to make us to be the wise witness he wants us to be. Do you agree, Sister Smith?
Amen. I think this is an appropriate time for us to pray for those who have a passion and compassion to be a wise witness to someone who may not know him. So if you would like to pray, Pastor Jones, for those to come to know him and that they would be extended Jesus Christ. And I would encourage my brothers and sisters who are listening to this broadcast, if you would just pray with us as we touch and agree with like-mindedness and ready hearts and those who may not know him at this very hour that may be listening, if you would prepare your heart and speak through your mouth as Pastor Jones leads you to Jesus Christ.
If it doesn't matter whether it's a direct or indirect, the Lord is at work. Our Father in heaven, I pray that those listeners that are not believers, that these words out of your word have convinced them. It's causing them to rethink where they are and where they need to be. What they think about themselves and what they need to think about you. I ask, oh God, that you would save those that have not been saved. And those of us that have been saved, that you would work with us, that we would be willing to be as Andrew was towards his brother, and as he was towards Philip and Nathaniel, and as Philip was towards the eunuch, and as Peter was eventually towards Cornelius. God, I pray that you would help us to be willing to go in different directions if you lead us, to follow the Holy Spirit when you tell us, and to be accountable that we are our brother's keepers. We are our sister's keepers. We are the ones that are responsible to keep people from going to hell and lead them to heaven through Jesus Christ. Your word has taught us that you love us, that you died for us, that you were buried, that you rose again. And we anticipate with great anticipation the second coming of our Lord. Even so, come now, Lord Jesus. As we see the things going on in this wicked world, we realize that you are the wise God. You never leave us, neither do you forsake us, that you're with us until the end of this age. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, this is such a tender moment, and it is such a so needed topic in the body of Christ. Would you agree, Pastor Jones, because so many of us fall short.
Yes.
In being a wise witness to so many out there who are actually hungry for the Lord, but they just need, as the eunuch needed a brother to bring him in. And pray that this broadcast has done that for you, and as you share this with others, that it would be a blessing to them. And that's a part of witnessing, is sharing. And, of course, we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Pastor Jones, I thank you so much for a beautiful job in bringing us to a simple understanding through these passages, which really came to life as we read them and as you expounded on them, to where I could just actually see the characters acting out in front of me as we read through the scriptures. And you held our hand and just kind of took us slowly, which is so needed, wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you say?
Yes, and when we have led somebody to Christ, we are responsible to disciple them or to follow up with them. And I think next week we're going to see that. And that your direct or indirect approach is still, there's a need for us to follow through or follow up with the people after we lead them to Christ, if it's at all possible.
I so agree. And that is so important because I've heard it this way. You catch them, we'll clean them. and I like that. That illustration really helped me understand discipleship. And I hope it helps you to understand as well the importance of when we become saved, now it's time for the fellowship of Jesus Christ and that we just draw into him closer and closer. So this brings us to the end of our broadcast, and I thank you, Pastor Jones, for being a faithful steward and a faithful witness you bring this broadcast to us each week, A Wise Witness. And Pastor Jones is passionate about witnessing to the lost. This is a joy to him. It is a passion of his, and it's definitely a ministry of his. So for those who may have the same desire, the same passion for others to not be lost, it should be the complete body of Christ's passion, but we know that the gifts are given to us, and it takes all of us to bring about the work of Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening to this broadcast. Thank you for being a part of the broadcast. And as Pastor Jones said, we will meet again on next Thursday at 8 o'clock Central. And if you've missed any part of this broadcast, please go back and listen to the broadcast on the link, www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart MFTH, and that's heart, the number 2, heart, MFTH, standing for Mission from the Heart. Always remember that the grass wither and the flowers do fade away, but the Word of God will remain forever. Thank you again for your faithfulness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and thank you for the work and ministry of Jesus Christ through this broadcast. Pastor Jones, we will be here again on next Thursday. God bless and enjoy the remaining of your week.